saved, inbounds nicely. Abercrombie for three. Bullseye! Connect with a long three. Off the front, no good. Rebound. Hughes back up and in. Big old Theo Hughes with a putback, and the Bears up by seven. 13:55 to go first half. Dalen Coons down the lane, found the opening. Layup up and in. Foul as well. Count that basket. And he bounces in the paint to Wisney. Wisney to Connect. Layup up. Good. What a pass. Jump shot blocked behind by Dalton Connect, who's got the rebound. Dalton coming back the other way. Driving down the lane. Kick out to Johnson. Matt for three. Got it. Go back to Connect for three. Got it. Another three hit by the Bears. Gets inside the lane. Still with the basketball. Turns. Goes up top the key. Abercrombie three. Got it. Top the key to Johnson. Matt thought about a three. Didn't fire. Goes top the key. Abercrombie will. God, that's a three, and the Bears are up by 22 points. They're bigly the ball game. Works off the Hughes pick to his left side. Dalen picks up the dribble now, goes right corner. Abercrombie sets up for three. Got it again. His fourth three tonight. Goes right corner. Abercrombie three again. This one is good. He got the bounce. He's 5 for 5 on threes. Down the lane he goes. Hands off to Reynolds. Kick out to Abercrombie. Another three. It's good. Dalen's going to hold up outside right. Abercrombie, another three. Bullseye! He's 7 for 7 on his threes.
A lot of bullseyeing last night from Jerry Schimmel on the call on KFKA last night. Late night basketball. I really enjoyed it. The Bears win, of course. That makes it worth staying up late. Bears win 88-54 over Weber State. And that's right up there this year with the CSU game. That reminded me of how they played in the CSU game. And when you're shooting like that from the three-point line, 12 of 22, but Riley Abercrombie, who we're going to have on the show later on today in the 1 o'clock hour, might be player of the week territory there, at least so far. We got an early candidate there. Special night for him. He was 7 of 8. As you heard Jerry there, he was 7 of 7 at one point. Missed the final shot right before they get pulled out. The starters get pulled out there. But, man, he was hot. Riley Abercrombie, 7 of 8 from the three-point line. 21 points for him. 7 boards on top of that. Late night in Greeley. And a lot of thoughts going through the brain as we're sitting there. Angel and I went out. I mean, you got to be running on fumes at this point, man.
Yeah, about 4 hours of sleep.
I couldn't sleep either. I got home, about a 30-minute drive home up north to Timnath. And, you know, I'm just looking, tweeting and getting stuff out. And I don't know how Smiley got to bed because I'm still kind of jazzed up from that game. If I watch late games, it takes me a while to settle back in. So late night, really cool. Seeing the student section out there. And again, the game was on ESPN, right? So it was a late night game on ESPN. I was happy that there was some footage for cameras to pan over to and see that student section, which was not sold out. You get to go free, right?
Yes, but students get in free, but it was completely full.
Every seat, it looked like from our vantage point, was absolutely full. So that was cool. You know, outside of the student section, it was kind of spotted throughout. Wasn't bad. It just kind of goes to show me, though, that if you can fill that arena up, those players, I mean, you and I were talking on the way out. It's like, maybe, you know, the stars on this team just really thrive off of that. We always talk about how bad the bubble year was and how weird it was in college sports when people weren't attending games. And it just really sucks the life out of you because it's a different way to play. But if you can get the fans really to support you, that plays a monster role in any sport. It really does, especially college basketball. And you could tell. I mean, the over was 100 and, or what was it, like 141 or something like that. They got it because I had a feeling somebody was going to go off. I actually thought it might be both teams going off last night, but Weber State couldn't hit anything. I think that was also a testament to good defense by UNC. Defensively, we've talked about this team for a while. Can they stop teams? Weber State scored 54. 54 points. That's a big deal. The last time these two teams played, Weber State scored 81. Bears scored 72. So it was a high-scoring game there. But to hold them to 54 is a big deal. That's not the topic, though. It's the scoring. It's the three-point shooting. It's Riley Abercrombie shooting really well. That was impressive. So I've seen two games this year from UNC that I went, that team could win the Big Sky Conference championship, the tournament. And that was against CSU, and that was against, and that was last night against Weber State. They've had other good performances. But when you look at those games, and let's keep in mind, right, how many games did Riley Abercrombie miss? Who is a starter on this team? He missed quite a few.
Four or five, I think.
Yeah, and that stint, they lost quite a few basketball games. I don't think he's going to shoot 7 of 8 every night. That's just not going to happen. You can't count on that. But it was a night where Dalton Connect, who 16, what did he end up with, 16 points? Nice night for him, but he that's been a guy that's easily been dropping in 20, 25, 30. He's had a couple of 30-point games. So for him to just have 16, and yet you still score like that, you still score 88 points, is a really good sign for the University of Northern Colorado. And I want to get that message out. And listen, I'll be the first one. I haven't been to as many games as I want to this year. But, man, if you're looking for inexpensive, fun basketball, you got a few opportunities left. I just really hope it can grow. You know, I've always said this. I know it's Broncos country here, but I really believe that this state can be a basketball state. And that's not just the Bears. It's the Rams with Moby Madness and the Buffs down in Boulder. It can be a special environment. And again, it bang for your buck. Last night, if you paid for a ticket to go, you were thoroughly entertained. And I think that this is what I was telling our boy Matt Gator, former UNC Bears football player, was sitting with us. And I said, well, that's awesome. The students are out. Now you got to give them a show. Because problem is you get people like that, you get on national television, you get that opportunity, you get the student section to show out like that, and you don't deliver. Or at least you don't deliver a good game. And it's just, what if it was lopsided? Then that's where the student section walks away with their heads hanging down and going, well, that was a waste of 2 hours. I mean, it is what it is. You got stuff you can be doing. Students at 9 o'clock. I mean, you were a student not long ago, Angel. Every night is a weekend when you're a student. Like, you can go do stuff. How do you make them want to make your game part of your schedule throughout? And that, hopefully that pays off. I really do. I mean, now you got Portland State at 6 o'clock. We'll see. But you got to find ways to entice the student section to get out. That's where it starts. With any college fan base, that's where it starts, is getting your student section really invested in your program. And I do feel like, you know, the current administration there is really doing big things, better things, to get their students involved. I don't know what it entailed to get them out there. I don't know if there was an on-campus advertising campaign. If the students have been listening to the whole show or KFKA a lot, probably that's number one. But whatever they did, I mean, was it just the fact that they knew they were on ESPN? Okay, well, how did they know that? Somebody had to let them know. That was a big showing, and I was really impressed with that. And to see Steve Smiley's crew deliver was really good. And now you got to keep capitalizing on that. And I think that this coaching staff does that. I mean, Smiley went out afterward. I wasn't there, but I was at the end. I was driving home listening to Jerry Schimmel's post game. And Smiley went out, took pictures with people that were sticking around. That's the kind of stuff that really gets it going. So I just hope they can continue to build on that. Because, again, number one, it's about your student section and then building through the community. You know, tonight we've got the UNC Coaches Show live from the GOAT. I'm guessing Smiley's going to be. I haven't heard the schedule yet, but I'm guessing Smiley's going to be on hand. I have no reason to believe he wouldn't be. Go out there tonight. Introduce yourself to Steve Smiley, man. He'll make himself available to you. That's what's really special. Can they keep that going? It shows me, man, that Bank of Colorado Arena, Moby Arena. Where do the Buffs play now? What is it called? It's not the Coors Event Center anymore. It's just the Buffs place. Buff Center, Buff House. I'm still going to call it the Coors Event Center. I can't. I'm stubborn that way. But it, you can get really strong basketball in this area, which is then going to turn into better recruits wanting to play here in front of that in front of that fan base. Like, that was a fun environment, dude. It was cool. It was worth going out. I got my hot dog, which might have been a mistake, but it was an awesome experience, man.
Yeah, definitely. The only other time I could remember a game like that with that kind of energy was the CIT tournament that they hosted a couple years ago and ended up winning. I think I went to one of those games, and that the student section like that, how it was last night, it reminded me a lot of like high school basketball games where the entire student section is out there. They're united with a theme or, you know, costumes or whatever, and they're getting the defensive chants, and the players, you could see it.
Oh, they were pumped up. They were looking at the student section, raising the roof, man.
Dalen's very composed on the court, but he got fouled and made an and-one, and he looks over at the student section, starts pumping them up. Matt Johnson had his energy back, which we've kind of been lacking the last couple of games. And I mentioned it to you, it's got to be awesome for those seniors to play. Just even if it's just one game in front of a crowd like that, it's got to mean the world to them. And then to go out and do what they did, that was a huge win. It shows, hopefully, this team sees, okay, this is how good we can be.
I think you have to consider doing more of these games. I don't think the mid to bigger schools are eager to sign up for late night basketball, even though it's on ESPN. I don't think it's ideal for a lot of people. But I would say to UNC, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know when you're making your schedules and your contracts and all that stuff. But if you can get as many of those games as possible, take advantage of it. Because I know it's late, but you could build something there with especially the student section. I was talking to my guy Sean for a brief moment last night. And it's like, yeah, this is, I mean, I remember back when, you know, they made their quest and they won the Big Sky tournament and they got into March Madness and then all the drama that followed and stuff. But the fact is, at that moment in time when the Bears were punching their ticket, the student section bled over into the regular section, and where they were like, it was the student section and then it rounded out into, I mean, I remember those times. That was like right around the time I was starting at KFKA. So it was a really magical time. And it just goes to show you can build it. The players will thrive with that kind of thing, man. I tweeted it out at the beginning. It's like, Bears love the cameras. Look at how they showed out against CSU. That is it's not a primetime game to other people outside of the state, but for UNC Bears, for the players, it is. It was fairly full. I went and did that game with Jerry. Fairly full. And obviously CSU was a defending March Madness team. And I don't know what they're going to end up doing this year in the tournament. It's going to have to be winning it all. But you could tell that the Riley Abercrombie's, Dalton Connects, Dalen Kuntz, Matt Johnson, those guys were really loving the attention. And that's not to say they can't play well if there's no attention on them, but this is basketball, man. We talk about a game of momentum. It's all about it's a lot about the crowd getting involved. And that's what you saw last night. So hopefully it can be a special occurrence for UNC going forward. Eastside Chris chiming in on our First Advantage text line. It's Top Text Tuesday, by the way. I've got a $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill, a proud supporter of the UNC Bears. Eastside Chris texting in on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Maybe every game should be a beach party theme. Did you wear sandals? I didn't. I ended up not doing it because we weren't in the student section, Angel. I decided just to wear what I was wearing, and it worked out. You didn't deck out anything either.
I did not, but the theme was very well known. They had little palm trees everywhere, beach balls, Hawaiian shirts everywhere. Claus was dressed up. You love that stuff. That stuff that, like, when I was in high school, I'd love to do that stuff with our student section. Like, get people involved with you. Just say, oh, there's a basketball game tonight. I don't care. It was a basketball game, and we're going to get our fraternity and our sorority group out there, your study group. We're all going to go and hang out at the game. And it creates that, and the players feed off of that. It's one thing to hit a big three, and your teammates are, you know, clapping you up. But when you hit a three, like, or multiple, like Riley did last night, and the crowd is just building and building and building on it is amazing. And by the time the end of the game, when the Smiley put in the young freshmen, guys I've never even heard of yet, they made their first career baskets. The crowd went nuts over it.
Yeah, no question. Who was it? Jalen Page
Jalen Page and,
made his first. That was his first. That was his first career basket, and he made a three with a hand in his face late in the game. I mean, the game's over at that point. So, like you said, they're clearing the bench. When you were on, how long were you living in the dorms?
I lived in the dorm my first year.
Just your first year. What did UNC do to advertise within the campus to let you know that there were games and such? What did you get an email? Did you see signage? What was that like?
It would usually be like maybe like a little update on Monday, like, hey, here's the events happening
like an email?
This week, and like an email or that. Throughout the week, they'll put up little like signs around campus, say, hey, there's a game this weekend, or it's on game day, and they'll put up signs for it. I know in past years, the players have gone out and actually invited students to their games. The UNC Bear Den, which is like their student section name, they've been getting a lot better in terms of just putting the energy into it and putting the effort into organizing things like this, organizing little games and stuff in between the timeouts and halftime, and really just word of mouth. And I think there's a lot of momentum with the men's basketball team and women's too, where people are saying, oh, this, they were in the Big Sky tournament last year. They were in the final last year. They were this close to getting to the NCAA tournament. And it's not a bad team. It's a, you got a great group of guys with by their, your seniors, a great coach with Smiley and his staff. And it, it should be an exciting program. And you're just not seeing it right now because you have to just go see it.
Was it obvious to you, though? Like, you're walking around campus, and it was obvious. Game tonight, ESPN, 9 o'clock, wear your sandals. Was it an obvious thing?
If it wasn't like a theme night or something like it was, probably not. If you were following the team or just following sports, you'd say, oh, yeah, there's a basketball game tonight. It's Thursday. Yeah. I don't know any friends that are going to go, so I'm just not going to go. It would end up like that. But if you want to go, if you're like following this team, you already know what you're going to go see.
Right. If you're a sports fan and you're not going to UNC because of the sports, like, I don't think that is really attracting a lot of people. Like, oh, that's a big-time football school. I want to go there so I can go to the games. When I went, it wasn't obvious. And this was a long time ago. 2005 was when I came up here. And I didn't walk around campus and it was just like this obvious, hey, we're moving into D1 football and all of that. It wasn't in your face. And that's where, you know, you look at the challenges that these schools have. It's to grow that fan base. I've always thought, you know, with what like CSU's doing with those with the Outlaws of Moby, it's what, 4, 5, 6 guys that just started showing up, and it was kind of organic how it happened. But they're wearing cowboy hats and stuff, and then they get this much attention on them. Just a little sliver of attention. And suddenly they're like, we're a part of this. We want to be, like, you've seen San Jose State's duck dude. Have you seen that guy? The guy that wears the duck mask and he holds it's a pillow, but it looks like a loaf of bread. I mean, he's got his own Twitter account, and he's there all the time. And so when March Madness comes, if they're actually in it, they're panning over to that guy, and they're doing like a 5-minute little spiel about him, 3-minute, 2-minute, whatever. I've always said, like, UNC, you've got to find 5 or 6 of those guys or gals every year and be like, we want you to grow this. You talked about the Bear Den or whatever. We want you to lead this, and you be a part of it. You're going to be a part of the successes. I don't know if you could hook them up with free gift cards to restaurants or whatever, but building off of that has to be a must. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. The good is, there we go. We just talked about it. UNC wins 88-54, and just an awesome way to do it. I don't know what this means for the future. I'm telling you right now, if the team can play similar to that, they're going to win more games. Can they stretch them out to win 3 or 4 or whatever they're going to have to win to do it all? I don't know. I'm not sure. But for one night at least, that's how good they can be. And that wasn't a fluke. Those players are good like that. Just you haven't seen it consistently. So that's why I'm a little reserved on saying, oh, yeah, that's going to happen 4 games in a row. The bad for me is, yeah, it's bad, but it's also good. The Mavs are out there bragging it up, man. Dallas Mavericks touting that they're going to make a championship run now. Stems back to my poll question from yesterday. Who in the Western Conference is going to give the Bears, or the Bears on the mind, man. Who's going to give the Nuggets their biggest challenge as far as keeping them out of going to the finals. Are the Mavericks in there? I'm still saying it's the Warriors. I'm terrified that the Warriors are going to end up in the eighth spot and Denver's going to face them in the first round. I don't want to see that. I don't want any part of that. I'll take Dallas with Kyrie Irving any day of the week in that first round. Ugly? And I'm just saying, it's not ugly what Sean Payton said. I like what he said. Here's what he had to say this. He was asked about whether or not Russell Wilson's going to be able to have his coaches, and especially his quarterback's coach, in the facility.
That's foreign to me. That's not going to take place here. I mean, I'm unfamiliar with it, but our staff will be here, our players will be here, and that'll be it.
Now, I like it. That's what should have been said last year. Is that going to create a riff? Is that going to create some unnecessary drama? And I'm not saying that they should give Russell Wilson his coach in there, but they did already. It's harder to take stuff away than it is to just say no at first, because when they get used to it, it can be interesting. So, more aftermath from the Sean Payton presser yesterday. Thought it was really good. It was well done. Listen, I'm not... People are freaking out, dude. People are through the moon right now. And they're going like, oh, that was the best press conference I've ever had. And I'm like, I mean, it was a press conference. It's a very popular coach speaking in front. Russell Wilson's press conference was pretty damn good last time I checked. 27 minutes after the hour. Sean Payton aftermath. Is it going to work? Is Russell Wilson just a means to an end? Because I didn't hear Sean Payton really just going all in, which was the complete opposite of what we heard with Nathaniel Hackett last year, about this time last year. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's Top Text Tuesday. Get in on the conversation. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's voice on 103.1, 1310 KFKA.
The Broncos have their head coach, but can he fix Russ? Hear Broncos talk on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, Will County Swami saying some of those fellas in the student section should have left the shirt on. Now, go crazy. Just take him off and get weird.
It's one group of those guys with my fraternity.
The shirtless guys?
A couple of them.
Checks out, Angel.
I mean, we never did that, but these young kids.
You know, I'm not a big raw. I never was a big rah-rah guy when I went to games. And growing up, we had season tickets to the Broncos. We were at Nuggets games all the time, coming up to college games. I'm still a very reserved fan. You know, I've gone to games. You watch a game about like I do. I've gone to games with Tanner, and he's like, rah, and I'm more of a. But when Riley Abercrombie started hitting three after three after three, even I was like, whew, okay, crazy.
I get
here.
Into games, but I don't think I'll ever paint my body or wear some crazy costume.
I'm like, not a big like team flex and cheer and team. I'm not really that guy. I'll wear team colors, but I'm not like a big rah rah or boo kind of dude. Did you see the dudes at courtside that were just going at the ref? I'm not like knocking it because I think you need crazy fans. I think you just do, and they're probably not going to be dudes you want to hang out with ever, but I just think that you need those guys. There's one guy behind the basket right where we were sitting pretty much. Dude was just, I mean, he's going at the student athletes a lot, man. I'm like, that's borderline uncomfortable.
And no judgment, but I did see him at like close to like 10:30 with just, he came back to his seat with two more beers.
Nice.
It's like, all right, it's never too early.
I had one hot dog and I was like, that'll do it for me, man. That's enough. It's late. Texter here from the 970, John. Am I weird if I'm not completely sold on Sean Payton? I don't think you're weird. I'm not completely sold on it.
Might be a little weird.
Well, but you're weird. I mean, I guess we're all weird. If you're a hooligan, you probably have a little weirdness.
You're listening to this show.
You got a little weirdness in you. But I just don't. I've been here too much, man. I've seen this too much to go, here we go.
Is it just the PTSD from last year?
And the year before that. And the year before that. And the year before that. And the year before that.
But I mean, last year it was Super Bowl expectations.
Yeah, because you brought in Russell Wilson. That's what we got when we got Manning. So you talk about PTSD. It was like the opposite effect because you bring Russell in. It's like, we're getting ready to do exactly what we did with Peyton Manning. Here we go. Look at how spoiled Broncos country is. They're going to get John Elway in their history. They're going to get Peyton Manning in their history. And now they're going to get Russell Wilson in their history. So you thought that was good enough. And it was bad. I wouldn't say it's PTSD. I'm just reserved. I'm reserved with these guys now. Like, Deion Sanders is awesome. This is amazing for CU, for the state. It's awesome. Trust me. The marketing side alone is amazing. Do I think it's going to translate on the field? I have no freaking clue. Because I don't know what kind of offense they're running, defense running, and would it matter if I did? Because we all hear it every single year. I just think, dude, I've been doing this show for a while now, different variations of this show. And you hear every coach give every saying in the book that makes you go, I'm freaking in, man. I'm in. Even Nathaniel Hackett, when he was terrible, would still have a press conference where you're like, he can get it. They're great. They're great at speaking. They're great at motivating even you to believe in them. But Sean Payton, yeah, I mean, he knows football. He's not going to have game management issues. He's not going to have game clock issues. He is putting his foot down right now. Is he putting it down too hard, too fast, though? Like, it's basically like, you're not going to have game management issues with me. There ain't going to be no quarterback coach in the facilities, which are all things I agree with. But were those things that needed to be put out right off the bat? Or is that something where you ignore the reporter? Now, listen, I like a good soundbite. So as the sports host in me is like, hell yeah, good question by a friend of mine who asked that question. And he answered it. That's great fodder for us to talk about. But the business side of me, if I'm a fan, if I'm a coach or a player or whatever, I'm going, is that something that you ignore and say, you know what, we're just going to look into everything at this point. Is it weird to put your foot down? Because right now, Russell Wilson knows that. He knows what Sean Payton said. And is that, I know most of the hooligans right now are saying, who the hell cares? Russ sucks. You got to be assertive and run the show. Well, you can still do that without kind of embarrassing the situation. You know, it's the fact is, George Payton, Greg Penner, all allowed it to happen. They allowed Russell Wilson to bring his quarterback's coach in and his chef and his concussion doctor and all that stuff to come in. And you let that happen. So is it something where behind closed doors, it's, hey, Russ, let's talk. You know, I know you had a way of doing things last year, and you probably had a way of doing things in Seattle, but they hired me to do things my way. I'm the head coach of this team. And I love you. I want to work with you. I think we can do great things. But a lot of that stuff's going to have to go away, and I need you to be on board with that. And you know what? Maybe it's better if it's your decision. Maybe it's better if outwardly they hear you say it, and they hear you say, you know what? I know last year there were some interesting things. And I don't know if Russ would do that. Probably wouldn't. But that's worth a try. The optics of that, to me, were a little... Everyone's cheering it today, like, oh, hell yeah, tell Russ you can't do... I just wonder, that's why I put it in the ugly. I just wonder if that's the beginning of the riff between the two, because you're not as tied to Russ as you were 2 weeks ago before Sean Payton came here, because now it's about Sean Payton. If Russ doesn't work out, doesn't matter. Sean Payton will be the guy they lift up and elevate. Russ will be the scapegoat. This year, Hackett has no history. He has no ground to stand on. Russell Wilson has a Super Bowl ring, and then you just paid him a ton of money. So if there were a guy to pick between those two to get rid of, it was the new rookie head coach. Sean Payton has the background. He has the pedigree. So that it's not Russ or bust. It's Sean Payton or bust. If Russ doesn't work out this year, bye-bye birdie. That's it. The Russell Wilson thing is over. Texter here, if Payton's going to put his foot down like that, then he has to live up to it. You make your bed, then you have to lay in it. He has to put up with the heat if it doesn't quite work out at first. And I think Payton will. I mean, I do think that, listen, by no means am I saying that I think Sean Payton's going to be a bad coach for the Broncos. I think it will work out. It's a tough division. It's a tough, tough division. And it might get tougher if Aaron Rodgers comes to Las Vegas. 40 minutes after the hour, we're going to jump out real quick. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
Brand new sponsor of the program. You probably heard a little bit about these guys. Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, Young Law Firm. Of course, we live on dangerous roads in Weld County, Northern Colorado. If you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that is Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. That's trialproven.com. Our guy, Jerry Schimmel, really talks these guys up. You've heard the ads on the station, and man, I'm telling you, if Jerry trusts these guys, then I certainly do as well. Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, Young Law Firm. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's Top Text Tuesday. I got a $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill for the best text of the day. And your thoughts on the night that was for the UNC Bears, Sean Payton press conference from yesterday. And I mean, it was a very interesting Monday all the way through. And listen, I'm not, again, just reiterating what I was talking about earlier. I'm not saying that anything that Sean Payton said yesterday, I didn't look at it and go, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. But again, this is why George Payton and Greg Penner, whoever was allowing Hackett to do the Hackett things, it's hard to tell somebody, hey, all the cool amenities you had last year, your office, your coaching staff, your personal coaching staff, Sierra running around there at the facility, all of those things are going to be severely modified. Those are harder to take away. And I'm not saying that Russ and Peyton can't get together and figure it all out. They probably can, because they want to win. They want to be professionals here. They want to go to the next level. They want to win Super Bowls. They both want to go to the Hall of Fame. They're not Hall of Famers right now. Lonster's on the First Advantage hotline. What's up, my man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, my friend. How are you?
Hey, do good. I'll tell you what, I stayed up and listened to that game last night.
It was pretty spectacular, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. No, I was under the covers, and I had had the radio on, and I'll tell you what, it was fun to listen to. Good way to get a good night's sleep after a UNC win.
Jerry Schimmel, he's something else, man. He sang you to sleep, Lonster.
Yes, he did. You know.
Hey, here's my poll question today. I haven't even put it out there yet. It's out at thewholeshow.com. Which men's basketball team has a better shot of making a run in their conference tournament? The Buffs, the Bears, the Cowboys, the Falcons, or the Rams?
You know what? I'm going to cool. Well, right now, I don't see the Rams doing it.
No, I don't see the Rams doing it. They have like four players. I think they might ask one of us to play on their team tonight, man.
You know, I think they were trying to give me a call here before I called you.
They probably did. You know? Yeah, that's probably them on call waiting, Lonster.
You know, I thought I heard some kind of beeping noise coming through my phone there, you know.
Who you got? You think it's the Bears?
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb, say the Bears.
Based on what we just saw, it sure looks like, although the Buffs just whooped Stanford the other night, too. So the Buffs could make a run.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Buffs here a little
bit. Okay, you're going with the Buffs. Okay.
Yeah, and then maybe UNC a top second, maybe. Mm-hmm.
All right. Monster, what's for lunch today, man? What are you snacking on?
You know what? I found a frozen treat in my freezer. I'm going to have a shepherd's pie for lunch.
Who just has a shepherd's pie lying around? That's you.
You know what? You'd be amazed what I can find in that freezer when you're not looking, you know.
Enjoy your shepherd. What is in a shepherd's pie? Why do they call it a shepherd's pie?
I think everything in there, but I think the shepherd's in there somewhere, you know.
That's what I was going to say. I love it, man. Well, enjoy lunch, my friend.
Hey, you do the same. Thanks.
All right. Lonster, shepherd's pie. Have you ever had a shepherd's pie before?
Yeah, when I went to Disney World a couple years ago with my family, I had a shepherd's pie there at their little. It was at Epcot at one of their restaurants. It's pretty good. It's kind of like a veggie pie. It's got meat, like ground beef, mashed potatoes.
Looks good.
It is very good.
I'm looking at pictures of it right now. It's basically a casserole with a layer of cooked meat and vegetables, topped with mashed potatoes.
Could eat one of those for lunch and just have a nice nap.
Ah, yeah, I would like to have one of those.
Like Michael Scott, eat a family size chicken pot pie.
Is it like a chicken pot pie? Is that what it's like?
Yeah, you're substituting chicken with beef.
Okay,
it's very good.
Don't know if I've ever had one. Maybe I have. I've heard of the term before, But I don't know. 49 minutes after the hour, On the Rocks Liquors bringing us our game beer of the week. This one's from New Belgium Brewing, Oakspire Bourbon Barrel Ale. That sounds pretty delicious. Pick up selections from New Belgium Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru or pop inside. They're open 9 until 10 p.m. every single day. John, Tony, and the staff of On the Rocks, join them this weekend for a wine tasting from 4 to 7. Actually, that's on Friday. And then a spirit tasting on Saturday from 4 to 7 with the folks from Heart Distilling. That's On the Rocks Liquor, always doing really incredible, unique things. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up on the other side. We'll get into that poll question of these teams in the area, this basketball group, who has a better shot of making a run in their conference tournament. We'll might get one of those questions answered tonight. CSU playing Air Force with like 7 players. Yikes. We'll talk about that next.
Your home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
All right, a little tired from the night, a little groggy. But this, Angel, you get me, man. You're starting to figure me out, bro. Pop up some Metallica and away we go. Away we go on an adventure. Speaking of an adventure, Super Bowl week is always really annoying to me. I don't care if the Broncos are in it or not. The media drives me absolutely insane. Dude, Nick Sirianni was asked which of his players he'd like to have date his daughter. Which is a, listen, we all used to say stuff about Tebow when he was here. It's like, listen, I love Tebow, man. If I could pick a future husband for my wife, it'd be a Tebow type guy. I get the verbiage around that and the cliche of that term and the way we talk about it. But he just responded bluntly. My daughter's 5 years old. You're not thinking about that. If somebody, Mike, I have a boy, he's 5. If somebody said, Brady, which of your coworkers, and we had a bunch of women here, which of your coworkers would be okay to date your son? I would be the same way. I don't think in terms of that. I think of a lot of toys at the house, and I think of a lot of messes and running around and playing and jumping and learning and doing fun things. I'm not in that mode. Why would somebody ask that question? What the hell's wrong with you?
It's trendy TikTok social media influencer.
If she was 16, 17,
that'd be worse.
That'd be worse. It's like, when is that question okay?
These are adult men that we're talking about.
Correct.
And I assume most of them would have wives or girlfriends.
If you ask a player, they've done that before. They've asked players, who are you more comfortable with dating your sister? Still weird. Not as weird. But the coaches are typically in their 40s with children that are in their 5s, 10s, teens. There's another one you wanted to bring up too. Let's talk about it on the other side. Just some of the ridiculous. Oh, what was it?
Is this a must-win game?
Stupid. We'll be right back.